Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we had discussed in regards to the author of the kitab, Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatul Ali, this kitab that he has written of Anwarus Salah. And he was made Shaheed, he was martyred. And we mentioned that our akabirin, our ulama of Darulum Dioban, they only didn't sit in the madrasa and teach the entire day. But when it came to politics, Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Ali, etc., they were in the forefront in politics also. When it came to jihad, then they were ready and they gave their lives in the path of Allah Ta'ala as well. So in every department of deen, they had taken part in, they were part and parcel of it. And every person should have that desire that one day Allah Ta'ala also blesses me with shahadat. It comes in a hadith, مَمْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَخْذُ, that person that passed away. And he did not make jihad in the path of Allah. وَلَمْ يُحَدِّثْ بِهِ نَفْسَ, and the thought of making jihad didn't even come into his heart. The mata ala shu'batin min nifaq. Then he passed away on a branch of hypocrisy. So every person should have desire. I also want to give my life in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala gives me the opportunity, I'll also give my life. So nevertheless, in this kitab, Anwarus Salah, we learn how to acquire khushu and khudu. Now these two terms we hear very often, khushu and khudu, khushu and khudu. And how do we translate them? We say concentration and devotion. Concentration and devotion. But what is actual khushu? We haven't understood what is actual khushu and what is khudu. So khushu is an internal quality. Khushu is the quality of the heart. When a person starts his salah and the heart of a person is connected, the heart of a person is inclined towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In his salah, he is connected to Allah. That is what you call khushu. And that salah is a different salah altogether. That salah where the heart of a person is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sometimes we find when a person is listening to the imams of the Haramain, Sheikh Shuraim, and how they recite Quran. And so beautifully, it is as though you feel that Quran is coming down at this stage. So beautifully they recite Quran. So at that time, when Quran is recited like that also, the heart gets connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this connection of the heart, that is what you call khushu. Sometimes when the heart is connected, dua, when we make dua, one is we just make dua, we ask whatever our needs are, we just make a dua, surface level, we just make a dua, a superficial dua, and then we finish our dua. So there a person, his heart is not really connected to Allah Ta'ala, he does not get that enjoyment of that dua. But when the heart is connected, now it's only Allah Ta'ala that you're asking from. And whatever you want, Allah Ta'ala can give it to you. Now the tears come out of the eyes. Now that is that connection of the heart. The heart is now connected to Allah Ta'ala. Or a person is reading Quran Sharif, and now he's pondering over the meaning of the Quran Sharif, the words of the Quran Sharif. At that time, how Quran, what a magnetic pull the Quran has got. That the kuffar in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they used to duck in the night, they used to go to listen to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting Quran. This is the pull of Quran. This is that connection that we're talking about. So in Salah also, that connection, when a person is connected to Allah Ta'ala in his Salah, that is what you call khushu. Muhammad bin Nasr Rahmatul Ali is a great muhaddith. So once when he was performing Salah, he was bit by a wasp. So it's mentioned that he never even moved, although he was bit, and there was a whole lot of blood now that was flowing from the area where he was bitten. But throughout his Salah, he never moved. Why? Because he wasn't even aware that he had been bitten by a wasp. He was so much involved and engrossed in his Salah that he did not even know about this. Today, unfortunately, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. There's a little it somewhere, now we start scratching that particular area. Or we're performing Salah and one mosquito has to come and sit. Now we are more worried about the mosquito than our Salah. But this is the true Salah. When the heart of a person is now inclined, it is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion, he was asked that what is this khushu? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that khushu is in the heart. Khushu is in the heart of a person. He says where the heart is now attached to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he said that you don't turn your attention to anyone else. It is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then that is the actual khushu. Allah Ta'ala in the opening verses of Surah Mu'minun, Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Certainly the believers are successful. Now, here Imam Raghib Isfahani Rahmatullahi, we learn from Hazrat, he said that Imam Raghib Isfahani Rahmatullahi mentioned the word falah. Falah means every type of success. In dunya also, and in akhirat also. So, here Allah Ta'ala says, certainly, tahqeeq, certainly, Allah is using emphasis, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, certainly the believers are successful. Now, who are those believers that got full success of dunya also and akhirat also? So then Allah Ta'ala mentioned about 6 or 7 qualities. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِدُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ 6 or 7 qualities have been mentioned for the success. So the first quality that has been mentioned there, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those that have khushu in their salah, those that are humble in their salah. So where the heart of a person is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in salah, that is a mu'min that is successful. It is mentioned prior to the revelation of this verse, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, when he would perform salah, then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would turn his mubarak head towards the heavens, waiting for wahi. Normally when a person is waiting, like you're waiting for transport, somebody is going to pick you up, and you know the car is going to come from the right hand side. So every time a car is coming from the right hand side, you look, is it not my car? Then that car passes, then you look again, another car is coming, is that not my car? So just like that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst performing salah, there were times where Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would also turn his gaze towards the heavens, waiting for wahi. This is because initially, when the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform salah, the qibla was towards Baytul Maqdis. For approximately 16 to 17 months, the Sahaba and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had performed salah in the direction of Baytul Muqaddas. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then sent down the instructions that now face towards Kaaba Sharif. But the desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always that he wanted to perform salah in the direction of Makkah al-Mukarram, of Kaaba Sharif. So he was waiting that when is the wahi going to come down, that now you have to change your direction, instead of facing Baytul Muqaddas, now face the Kaaba Sharif. So Allah Ta'ala says this in the Quran, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَا, that we see the changing of your تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَا, that turning your face towards the heavens all the time, waiting for wahi to come down. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا, we will turn you towards a qibla that you're going to be happy with, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't worry, the time is going to come, we will change your direction towards Masjid al-Haram. Then came the command of Allah Ta'ala after 16 to 17 months, فَوَلِّي وَجَهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, now face in the direction of Masjid al-Haram and perform your salah in this direction. So up to this point, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam waiting for wahi, sometimes Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam would lift his gaze, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam would look towards the heaven. But after this verse of the Quran Sharif was now revealed, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep his gaze down. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would lower his gaze. So this khushu also refers to lowering the gaze. And we know the masla is, it is mustahab that when a person commences salah, when he's in a standing posture, then our gaze should be kept at the place where we're going to make sajda. That is where the gaze should be focused. When a person, he goes into ruku, then the gaze of a person should be on his feet. When a person is in sajda, then the gaze of a person should be on the tip of his nose. You can't see your nose, but you can see the tip of your nose. So a person's gaze will be on the tip of his nose. When he's in the attahiyat position, then the gaze should be on his thighs. And when a person makes salam, then his gaze should be on his shoulders. Inshallah, this will come later on again, but we're just mentioning it at this point as well. So there his gaze should be on the shoulders. So this khushu also refers to lowering of the gaze. It is also mentioned in regards to Sahaba, that when Sahaba, when they would perform salah, then occasionally it would happen that sometimes their gaze will move around, they will glance around sometimes. But after the revelation of this verse, Sahaba also kept their gazes at the place of sajda. So a person, his gaze also has to be corrected all the time, and he must be always conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one narration that seek refuge, seek protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from khushu of hypocrisy. So khushu is where you connected to Allah ta'ala. So Sahaba couldn't understand, how can you have khushu of hypocrisy? So Sahaba asked, what type of khushu is this? So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that outwardly, when you look at a person, the way he's performing salah, you'll think that he's connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What a salah this man is performing. But in reality, his heart is somewhere else. His heart is not connected to Allah ta'ala. That is also khushu, but that is khushu now of hypocrisy. One buzruk, he was making tawaf of Baytullah. So whilst he was making tawaf of Baytullah, there was one person, he was holding the khilaf of the Kaaba, and he was making dua to Allah Ta'ala. He's crying, he's making dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this buzruk, this pious person, Allah Ta'ala opens up certain things to them. So he looked at this person, and he sees that he's crying, and outwardly he's connected to Allah Ta'ala. He's holding the khilaf of the Kaaba, but the heart is somewhere else. It is not connected to Allah Ta'ala. And then the same buzruk, he went to Mina, and it was the days of Hajj. So when he went to Mina, then he sees one person, he's busy doing business, he is selling. And whilst he is selling, he looks at him, one gaze he places on this person, and he notices that his heart in his business is connected to Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, he's making money, outwardly he's in dunya. So see, that man was in deen, but the heart was not the Allah Ta'ala. This man was in dunya, but his heart was connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So salah also, outwardly sometimes you see a person, when you look at him, you think he's in salah. Look at the salah that he's performing. What concentration he has in his salah. But the actual thing is the khushu. The heart has to be connected to Allah Ta'ala. Abdullah bin Mutarrif, rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned the incident. He said that on one occasion, that he was passing by a certain qabristan. And he says it was early, so he wanted to take a rest, perhaps at the time of Fajr or something. So he decided to take a rest outside the qabristan. So he slept outside the qabristan. So when he falls asleep, he sees a dream. And he sees all the people coming out of the qabr. So all these people, they came out. And all the people, they collecting something. They collecting. But there was one man, he was just sitting and he was at ease. He was comfortable. He wasn't collecting anything. So Abdullah bin Mutarrif went up to him and he says that, what's happening here? Why are all these people out? So he said that these people are the deceased people, and they wait for what the people of dunya read, they recite, they make isal as sawab for them, they pass it over to them, they wait for this. So that is why we should make habit to always send for the marhumin. Whatever nafil we can do, we can send all our nafil, sunnat e muakkada also. Whatever we do, we can pass the rewards over. Sadaqah we doing, that we can pass over. The tilawat of Quran Sharif we recite, we listen to somebody reciting Quran, all that reward, we can pass it over. We teach somebody one masla of deen, and that person now benefits. They also, all that reward, pass it over to the marhumin. We also benefit, they also getting the benefit. So nevertheless, so he asked this person, what they doing? So he said that they collecting all the rewards the people of the dunya send, they are collecting this. So then he said, so why you not collecting? Why you sitting here so comfortable? So he says that I don't have any need to collect. He says, why? So he says that I have left behind a son that is Hafiz al-Quran. And this son of mine, every day he recites one khatam of Quran, 30 paras he recites, and he passes the reward to me. So then Abdullah bin Mutarrif asked him, he says, where is your son? So he says, certain marketplace, you go there, he has a mitai shop, sweetmeat, he sells sweetmeat. So if you go there, you will find him there. So Abdullah bin Mutarrif, when he got up from his dream, he went to that place, and he found his son, he's busy, he's doing business. See, he's outwardly in dunya, but his heart was connected there. He was reciting Quran, and whatever he was reciting, he was passing it over to his father. So after some time, Abdullah bin Mutarrif, rahmatullahi, he passed by the same qabristan again. And it was early in the morning, again he decided to sleep here, he rested here. And again he sees the same dream. All the people are coming out of their qabrs, and everyone is collecting something. But this old man that he saw last time, that was sitting comfortable, he wasn't collecting anything, he see that he is also collecting this time. So again Abdullah bin Mutarrif in the dream now, he went to him and he asked him, he says, why this time you are collecting? Last time when I came you weren't collecting, why are you collecting this time? So he says, no, my son that used to recite and send for me, he has now passed away. So when he got up, he went to that marketplace and he found out, they said, no, this man has passed away. So see, he is in dunya, but his heart was attached to Allah Ta'ala, he was reciting Quran and passing that over. That is that khushu. That Shah Shuja Kirmani, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was a king of the previous time, a very pious king. So he wanted to get his daughter married. She was the princess. So he was looking for a suitable boy for his daughter. And perhaps many proposals must have come also. Many princes from other places, they must have proposed for her. But he wasn't prepared to accept. So one day when he went to the masjid, and he saw one person, one student, he was performing salah. When he saw the way he was performing salah, his heart just took to the student. He was just attracted by his salah. What concentration, what devotion he performed salah with. But he was a very poor student, faqir. So he went to the student after he completed his salah, and he said, you know, I want to ask you a question. If the king has to give you his daughter, will you be prepared to marry the king's daughter? So he said, you know, don't make a mockery. I'm a poor person, so don't make mockery of a faqir. So he said, no, I'm asking you a question. If the king has to give you his daughter, will you be prepared to take the king's daughter? He didn't know this was the king. He thought it's a normal person asking him. So he said, yes, obviously, I will certainly accept that proposal. But which king is going to give me his daughter? So then he said, I am the king and I want you to marry my daughter. So they made the nikah, and after the nikah, they took this young boy and the king took the girl and went and left her at the husband's house. But this young boy, the talib ilm that was there, he used to put his full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I have nothing, absolutely nothing in my house. So when they went to the house, then he left the daughter and he went away. So the daughter went inside the house, the princess. And after a little while, she came out of the house. So he said, I knew it. I knew that you're not going to be able to live with me. You are the princess. And where are you going to live with a pauper like me, like a poor person that's got nothing in his house? So see, she looks like a person of dunya. She's the princess. But where was her connection? Higher than the student also. She said, that's not the reason I came out of your house. So he said, why you came out? She said, that you said you depend on Allah Ta'ala. You have full trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for all your needs. If you depend on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for all your needs, why is there a small piece of roti that is lying in your house? So a small piece of bread. So why is it inside your house? You should depend on Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will send your risk. Allah Ta'ala will send your sustenance. So see how her level of tawakkul was on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Obviously this is a very, very high level of tawakkul. But sometimes we see a person, we think this is a person of dunya. But what is his connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Only Allah Ta'ala knows. We cannot look down upon any person. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, the great king, mighty king of Balkh, but he gave up everything. But this is a very high level of tawakkul. Allah Ta'ala give us tawakkul also, and the true tawakkul. But this is very, very, very high. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, when he left, when he gave up his whole palace, his whole kingdom, Allah Ta'ala made jazb of him. The other day I mentioned about jazb, that how Allah Ta'ala pulls a person, how he pulled Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, how Allah Ta'ala pulled Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, where a person on his own, he doesn't go forward, Allah Ta'ala pulls him. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, Allah Ta'ala made jazb of him. He was in his palace and he heard footsteps on the roof. He asked in the night, who's there on the roof? So those people on the roof, they say, no, we're looking for a camel. Say, oh, where are you looking for a camel on the roof? Go somewhere in the jungle, you'll find the camel. How can the camel go on the roof? So they told him, how are you going to find Allah Ta'ala? You want to live in this luxury, this comfort? Obviously, a very high level. He said, you'll live in this luxury and comfort, you want Allah Ta'ala. You're not going to find Allah Ta'ala. That was jazb. Where they came? Allah Ta'ala sent them to pull Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he gave up everything and he went to live in the jungle. So when he went into the jungle, as I see, this is very high. We mustn't even try all these things. We, according to what our akabirin, our mashayikh teach us, we should learn from them. I'm just explaining to you what is that high level of connection with Allah Ta'ala. And there are people in the ummah that have passed that had that level of connection also. So when he left, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah, he took a pillow and he took one cup and he took one bucket and a string. So these were amongst the few things that he had taken. Perhaps some other things also, but these were the few things that Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi took. And he went to live in the jungle. Now as he was walking, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi came across one person. He was sleeping on the floor. And he used the brick as the pillow. He said, oh, I don't even need a pillow. Look at this poor man. He is using a brick. He gave the pillow away. Then he went further. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi came to one person. He was by the river. But he didn't have a cup. So he was taking out water with his hands and he was drinking. So he said, see, you don't even need a cup to drink water. So he started taking out with his hands. So he gave the cup away. Then Ibrahim, now he still had only the bucket and the rope left. So he came now to a well. There was an area where there was a well. So he came and he sat down over there. So when he was sitting there, they were all buck in that area. So all the buck, they were thirsty. So they came to the well to drink water. But now the water is in the bottom. Now how the buck is going to pull the water up? So the buck, he looked up. when they look up to Allah Ta'ala, all the water Allah Ta'ala brought it up. So the buck all drank water. When they drank water, they went away. So now Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he wanted water. So he came to the well for water. When he came to the well to take water, all the water went down. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi made dua. He said, Allah, what is this? That the buck, when they came, the water was down. You brought the water up for them. And when I came, I don't even have the value of the buck, of the animal. That the water that was up, you took the water right down. So Allah Ta'ala inspired Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. He said, oh Ibrahim, the buck don't have a bucket and a string. You still got the bucket and the string. Your level of tawakkul hasn't reached there. So see what a high level of tawakkul they had. That's why it mentioned in the hadith, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. So Ibrahim and Adam, we look at him like person of dunya. But look what level of tawakkul he has. So he mentioned the hadith that if you put your trust in Allah Ta'ala, in the manner a person is supposed to put his trust in Allah, Allah Ta'ala will give you risk like how Allah Ta'ala gives risk to a bird. تَغْدُو خِمَاسَ وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانَ. A bird when it goes out in the morning, stomach is empty. Nothing in the stomach of the bird. Bird has such a small house, where can the bird even keep food? It goes out with an empty stomach. But when the bird comes back, stomach of the bird is full. Allah Ta'ala provides for the bird. You put your trust, Allah Ta'ala will provide. Today we live in a time where people say it's impossible. If you don't insure your house, you don't insure your car, then you got a problem. Because any time you can have a burglary, any time there can be a fire, and your entire house, your shop is burned down. So you need insurance. But who gave you that house in the first place? Allah who gave you the house, Allah Ta'ala can't give you another house. Allah Ta'ala who gave you the house, Allah Ta'ala can't protect your house. So Allah gave you the house. But for the protection of the house, where are you going? To the kafir. In case anything happens to my house, where are we going? We're going to the kafir. A person, he says, today's time, no, without medical insurance, you can't survive. You have to have medical insurance. Health is from who? Health is from Allah Ta'ala. Person, he gives sadaqah, Allah Ta'ala will protect his health. Allah Ta'ala will keep him healthy. Allah Ta'ala will protect him from sicknesses. One person, he, mashallah, he doesn't insure his car. And he went to Durban. So he was explaining to me that he had some work. So they went to two cars. So the one car was parked. And they stole the car. So he said, my car wasn't insured. So then he came to me. He said that, I don't want to insure my car, but I want to just ask you one question. He says that, you know, you get third party insurance, where like somebody else comes and they knock your car, or you knock somebody else's car. So the insurance company pays out that person whose car you knocked. You don't get anything. They just pay that person fix his car. So he says that, can you have third party insurance? So I told him, well, our ruling, our fatwa in this matter is that you can't have third party insurance also. It's not permissible. He said, Alhamdulillah, that's all I want to know. I don't want to know more than that. One person, they came here, he sells cars. And from his yard, one Saturday morning they came, the thieves, and they stole five cars. They took the keys from inside, five cars. They came, a whole lot of them, and they stole the cars. When I met him, after losing five cars, Allahu Akbar, he told me, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave it to us. We recovered two cars, but three are gone, I think. Alhamdulillah, whatever we have, Allah Ta'ala has given us. It is from Allah Ta'ala. And we have made so much also, Alhamdulillah. So that is that tawakkul, that is the trust a person should have on Allah Ta'ala. So nevertheless, we went a little out. But this is that connection that a person has. When a person has this connection in Allah Ta'ala, he's not going to depend on anyone else. He's not going to worry about anyone else. Oh, those insurance companies and medical aid and all that, we can find out from the ulama whether it is halal or haram. But generally, it is haram. It is not permissible. So our trust should be on Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he saw one sahabi. He was playing with his beard when he was in salah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if this person had khushu, if the heart was connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then his entire body would have been at ease. His entire body would have been at 100% ease. He wouldn't have been playing with the beard. So this is the first term, what we refer to as khushu. And the second term is what we refer to as khudu. Khudu means that the external limbs, all the limbs of the body, they are humble before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. All the postures of salah, your ruku is done correctly, your sajda is done correctly, a person is at ease, he's not playing with his body or scratching somebody somewhere in his body. This is what we refer to as khudu. So these are the two terms that we're going to use. One is khushu and one is khudu. So khushu is where you are internally, you are connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in your salah. And khudu is where all the limbs of the body, they humble, where all the limbs of the body are at total ease, a person is not fiddling around and playing around with the various limbs of his body, this is referred to as khudu. We'll continue from here on Saturday, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.